Well, good morning, everyone. I want to welcome you to the Creek. If you've just come in since our services have started, my name is Jack. I'm one of our pastors here. And if you're new to our church, thank you so much for being with us. I want to put our hands together and welcome one another again. And I also want to put our hands together and let's lift up all these adults who are tired this morning. Hopefully full of caffeine, and maybe it's kicking in about right now. So hopefully we're ready to go. Hey, I do want to say thank you guys for being here. I love what we do with our students. I love what we do with our kids. We're really teaching the next generation of faith, and I'm super excited. In just a moment, we're going to watch seven of them go public in our faith, and between our campuses that we're baptizing this morning, that'll put us somewhere in the ballpark of about 18, 19 people that have gone public with their faith today. So let's put our hands together for that. And if you've been here over the past 6 weeks or so, we've been looking at the reasons behind why we do what we do as a church. We have a mission here at the Creek Church. We believe that our mission was given to us by our Lord and Savior Jesus, and that mission is to love God and to love people. And we kind of merge both of those two things together. If you've grown up in church, you've heard of it as the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. We really believe that that's what we are to do, that if we're loving God correctly, then it will trickle out and we'll love people correctly. And if we're loving people correctly, the church would grow. And our vision around here, we've taken that a step further, is to be a place where people who don't like church love to attend. We recognized years ago that sometimes where we live, sometimes because of where we live, sometimes the culture that we live in, there's some people that are sometimes in a place to where they've been marginalized, maybe by the church, maybe by life, maybe by whatever it is. And we wanted to create a place where they could come in and really be able to sit and find out who Jesus is for themselves. But over these past 6 weeks, we dove into our mission and vision with a little bit stronger lens, looking at the values that we believe that come out of our mission and that vision. And one of those things that we've talked about is this. There's these six things. First of all, we can't stay here. We believe that as a people, that our faith is supposed to continue to move forward. It's not supposed to be stagnant and idle. So for you and me to continue to grow, we believe that we've got to move from where we are to where we want to be. First of all, the generations change, culture changes, things shift. And for us, we want to be able to move where God wants us to be. It's better to serve than be served. We believe that it's always better to put others' interests ahead of our own. When we do that, when we're all honest, for all those of us that have come to faith, there's people that's done that for us. They've decided to serve us in some way, and when they did, we were engaged with faith, and we got to find out who Jesus was for ourselves. And we do believe that generosity changes lives. We believe that we've been built to be generous, that through generous and through kindness, people far from faith come to faith. And we're generous with what? We're generous with our time. We're generous with our energy. We're generous with our talents, and we're generous with our treasure. And if we put all those things into action, we believe that the church shines big and bright, and when this church shines big and bright, it points people to the one that saves us, and his name is Jesus. And we believe that everyone can reach someone. No matter what you think your personality is, no matter what your age is, no matter what you think you look like in the mirror, you have a personality that God has given you, and you have the abilities that God has given you to have influence with people. You have influence with people that are in your family, your neighborhood, the people that you work alongside, the people that you interact with in the community. You have the ability to reach someone. And we believe that in doing what we're doing, what we're going to try to do as a church, instead of putting up walls to faith, that we're going to try to build bridges to faith, because we believe that what the New Testament scripture teaches us, that it's far better for us, for you and for me, to make it easier for people turning to faith rather than harder for people turning to faith, because we believe that faith is something that everyone should have. And then finally, we is greater than me. Individual, by ourselves, we're okay. But together, we're stronger, and together we can make a difference, and we believe that we is the church, and the church is greater than one of us by ourselves. So today I do want to dive into this just a little bit more. I want to take some time just to open up a couple of pieces of scripture together. A couple of these pieces of scripture, both of them are going to be addressed to different churches. Paul is going to be the one that's writing these letters to a couple of different churches that we're going to dive into in just a moment. But if you're like me, it's really good from time to time for us to stop, take a minute, breathe, and be challenged and be reminded of some things that we need to be reminded about when it comes to faith and it comes to the church. Let me ask you a question. You ever get busy? Too busy? Is your normal rhythm of life similar to mine? It's just busy all the time. Mine's busy all the time. And just when I think sometimes I have some moments to breathe or maybe do something else, then something else happens. If you've got a family, you know that can happen. If you've got a job, you know that can happen. And if you've got relationships, you know that that can happen, that things just can get busy and mount up pretty quick. And sometimes when we get too busy, we get in a rut. My routine's pretty common. My family could probably teach you most of my routine. But at night, I have breakfast in the morning when I get finished at the gym. I fix everything I need for my breakfast that I can the night before. I get all of my clothes out the night before because sometimes I might hit the snooze button. Sometimes I might oversleep a minute, but most of the time when those things happen, I just get irritated. So I try to preset things in my routine. So I'm a very routine kind of guy. But when I'm in my routines, the smallest things can just get me irritated. I don't know about you. Have you ever just misplaced something that it just irritated you in the moment? It could be the most simple thing. Well, here's one that happened to me the other day. I'm having to wear some glasses now, and that's okay. But I was doing some work, and I needed my glasses. Well, I couldn't find my glasses. So I started on a search of the house to find my glasses. Well, my glasses were nowhere to be found. And I felt like I looked for those things for what it seemed like 5 hours, and it was probably 5 minutes. So finally, I'd walked into my kitchen, and like many of you, maybe you have a microwave, and it's mounted below your cabinet. For some reason, I turned towards the microwave, and what did I see? I saw my glasses on top of my head. And I couldn't even rationalize my way out of it to myself in the microwave mirror. But sometimes I can get so busy and so distracted that even the smallest things that are obvious to me, like my glasses on the top of my head, are missing. But sometimes I can go through these motions so much with the week's grind, the month's grind. And sometimes I've found out as a Christian, sometimes I do that to Sunday, the day when the church gathers. That sometimes in the morning when I get to church, I think I've arrived at the church. And that's just not altogether true. And so sometimes I need to be reminded what the church is all about. You see, the church has never been, and it will never be, a place. The church is you, and the church is me. And when we open our New Testament together, the very first book in our New Testament, Matthew, we're going to get to the word church pretty quick in chapter 16. And it's the first time we see the word church, which the Germans called it a church. It made it easier than the Greek term that's usually used there, ekklesia, which simply means to gather. And Jesus uses this term with the conversation he's having with the disciples. This term church, the gathering, and ekklesia for the first time. And he's signifying the establishment of his thing, something new. And here's what it says. In Matthew 16, 18, and Jesus says, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my," say it with me. Church. What is it? Church. "And the gates of Hades will not overcome it." You see, Jesus was on his winter retreat right before he would make a turn and make his way towards Jerusalem for the last time, where he would be tried, where he'd be arrested, tried, and then ultimately killed. And he is trying to get his guys set up for what was next, for what was coming, for the hope of the world. And he's having this conversation with his guys, and the whole conversation centered around a question, a simple question he had: who do the people say I am? And Peter, of course, speaks up, and one of the few times we hear Peter do this with such eloquence, he says, "You are the Christ." And Jesus says, "Rightly so, but upon this rock I will build my church." He initiates this thing called the church. And when we read this idea throughout the New Testament and we come to the word church, oftentimes it can mean a called out assembly. We were called out from among. Among who? Among the world. Sometimes it refers to the body of Christ, which is simply the community of believers. Sometimes when you read it in the scripture, it's talking about the local church itself, or maybe even the large church itself. Sometimes we call that the universal church or the big C church, the church collective. For us, we're the little C church, we're the Creek church. We're just a small part of the big thing. So here's my question for you this morning. So how do you become a part of this thing called the church? And Paul's going to write a letter to the book of Ephesians, to the church at Ephesus, and we call it the book of Ephesians. And here's what he says. Let's read some verses together. In Ephesians 2, chapter 1, he says, "As for you," talking to us, he's talking to people, "you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the rulers of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient." But all of us, All of us lived among them at one time. We gratified the cravings of our flesh, and we followed its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But, and this is always the great news, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in his mercy, made us what? Alive. Made us alive with Christ, even when we were what? Dead in the transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up. And God raised us up with Christ, and he seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable or the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. And this is my favorite verse in all of Scripture. For it's by grace you have been saved through faith, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do what? To do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Anybody like gifts? I love gifts. Has anybody ever turned down a gift? Don't raise your hand. We'll need you checked out. But I can for sure tell you that every gift I've ever had, whether it was a card, a gift box, a gift bag, thank you very much. I will open it and take it and receive it gladly. And that's what gifts are. Gifts are an extension of love. Maybe they show appreciation, gratitude, kindness. Maybe sometimes the gifts you receive are the gift you needed right in the moment that you received them. But God said the gift that we receive of salvation, it is a true gift, an incomparable gift. It's a gift that we could never fully understand, probably even if we were completely told what it looked like. And the Scripture tries to do that. But I do know that we had to have that gift because we were dead in our transgressions. So when we receive this gift of God, we become alive in Christ. And when you become alive in Christ, there wasn't a membership card you had to punch. You at that moment became a part of his bride called the church. You see, the church is an assembly of all those who have received an incredible gift of salvation from Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6 would note that salvation is a gift of eternal life. 2 Corinthians 9:15 would note that it is an indescribable gift. The church is those who have found and opened the indescribable gift of salvation. It's you and it's me. You know what I often get caught up, unfortunately, doing? I make the gift of salvation just about me. And sometimes I make this thing about the church just about me. You see, even looking forward, even looking to Peter and these other disciples, Jesus was clear with them in Matthew 16 that he was going to build his church and he was going to use them to do it. The Scripture would describe these men as unschooled, ordinary men, but yet they're going to turn the world upside down. Jesus was clear who he was going to build his church with, and it's those whom he redeemed. And we are here for his purposes. So we are here to help people discover this indescribable gift. That's what the church is for. You see, the word church means so many things to so many people. If you have a conversation with somebody and you ask them, what does the church mean to you? You might hear all kinds of stories. Sometimes you'll hear some negative stories because sometimes we do not do the best at being the church. And that's been unfortunate. But what we do together is very important. You know why it's important? Because it was important to Jesus. It was initiated by him. You see, the church, it's a gathering. It's a gathering of people. It's simply you and simply me. It's not a temple that we go make sacrifices to. It's not a place to go to. It's who we are. It's our identity. It is us. Again, it's a people who have received a precious gift. I'm not sure how you discovered church or what your first interactions were with it. Some of you, I'm sure, grew up in church. Some of you all probably met a coworker. You had a family member. For my family, we were engaged by a family member. My uncle invited my dad and my mom to church. And that's my first recollection of church when I was 7 years old. Going to a place where we met in a similar type of room where everybody gathered and we would sing and we would pray. And a little down the line, after about 7, when I was exposed to the church at about 8, 8 and a half, I met a man. I met a man because I was at a place that taught the scriptures. We memorized scriptures. As a kid, I participated in all kinds of activities. I grew up in a Southern Baptist church, and One of the activities we had was a thing called Royal Ambassadors. I still have a blue sash somewhere, I'm sure, that has all kinds of buttons and patches all over it from different activities that we would do or verses that we would memorize. But like so many of us, sometimes we grew up in a church, but sometimes we drift a little bit. I drifted a little bit. And as in my late teenage years, about the age of some of these guys that are in the room, these ladies in the room this morning, I drifted. I stepped away from the church. Probably because I felt like there wasn't anything for me at the church. So this is why today, just knowing how many students here in London we have engaged in a weekend. Oh, to have had that when I was their age, it would have been an awesome thing to have had. But along the way, something happened. And at the church that my family grew up in, there were some terrible things that went on and it split. Being a kid that still took money from my parents in order to live and to go to school and to go to college, I had to go with them to church. So I went with them to church. And then this new thing that they went to, I saw men and women behaving differently than all the years that I grew up in church. And they didn't have anything, but they began to serve each other and to love on each other. Even my dad started serving. I'm like, I don't know what's going on here, but my dad would start serving. We just were the people that got up and went to church. And then when there was something for the kids, I was the one that went to church. But somehow along the way, in that new experience, there were some people God put along my path. And I re-engaged with my faith. Somewhere along that path, I was reminded of the gift that I had received. And as a young adult, I began to do something that I had never done before. I began volunteering, similar to what my dad was doing. And then about a year later, I discovered something that I really struggled with for a long time. You see, over that time of serving and engaging and being involved and hanging out with people and watching what was happening and seeing students' lives changed and seeing kids' lives changed and seeing adults of all walks of life's lives changed, there was something I just wanted to be a part of that I wanted to engage with. So when I started volunteering, I had no idea what I was going to get into because I don't know about some of these students that are in here today, but in high school, I had no idea what I wanted to do. I had no idea really who I was, and I really had no idea of what I was gifted to do. I just didn't know. But when I started volunteering, when I started engaging, God started showing up in my life and showing me some things that I'd never seen before. And people started speaking into my life like they had never spoken into my life before. And then about a year after all this, I found myself doing what some of you may do week in and week out here. You know when the service is about over? And so as soon as we're able to, you're able to dart out the door. Well, for about 3 to 4 months, I would just sit in the back. I would show up at the church right when church would start, and I would leave as soon as I knew I could leave. And I would be the first one out of the parking lot. And I was doing that because I really felt something happening to me, that I found what I was supposed to do. But to be a pastor was to be all kinds of craziness to me. When I was that young, I thought pastors wore old beat-up blazers that they got at a Belk Simpson or a JCPenney many moons ago, and that they had a nice comb-over, and they went to Cracker Barrel 5 out of 7 days a week. And that just wasn't very appealing to me. I'd also grown up with some friends who had had dads for pastors, and I just thought that was miserable sounding based on what I had seen and heard through their life. So I would run until one day I broke in October of 98. And I just put my yes on the table, not knowing what that meant. And for a while, really not sure about this thing about being a pastor or in ministry. I didn't understand it. I was a little freaked out a little bit. A pastor, really? These were the thoughts that would continually go in my mind. But what did I know? I didn't even know what I could even do. I had no idea what I was getting into. But I did keep serving. And I did keep checking things out. And I became hungry, and I grew in my personal relationship with the Lord. And I just kept putting my yes on the table. And I would always say, I can't believe I'm going to be a pastor. This just can't be. Lord, call me to something else. And part of that was my insecurity. Because I knew for sure that I was going to get made fun of by my friends. And I did by some of them. But over the years, I would even not like the term pastor, and I would just prefer you call me Jack. But I've gotten over that a little bit, but I still prefer you to call me Jack. Don't even like the title that much. But I never knew what to do when people would say, well, what do you do in your life and career? I even lied one time and told somebody that I worked for a nonprofit, which is kind of true. And I did that because when you tell people certain things, sometimes they look at you differently. They talk to you differently. They view you differently. I wouldn't say I've completely gotten over that, but I am at a place where I know what God has called me to do. And when I began to engage in serving the church and talking to people about faith, something began to resurface that I experienced in my late teenage years. I quickly found out that there was a lot of people that had some negative views of the local church. And I can understand that, because sometimes hurt people hurt people. And if you've not looked around, we're all just broken people that were in need of an incomparable gift called salvation, because we all were in need and dead in our transgressions, and we all sometimes can just mess up and hurt each other. But I wanted to be a part of a church in my world where I could go and we could reach people who were on the margins, or where we could create a space for people who are far from God to come in and find faith. For people that would have kids, where they could take their kids and they could learn about faith and they're on their level, and where they could go to student ministries and learn about students on their level. So I was being challenged to think about this thing called the church and this thing that I was called to do. I found myself looking at both sides of this. The church is really great, but sometimes it can really mess some things up. But I just wanted to be a part of a church that made a difference in this world, and that would be my prayers. But through all of it, I began to see my view of the church starting to look a little different, because I realized the church wasn't a place I went to. It was the group of people that I did faith and life with. You see, God wants to do, here's what I believe, God wants to do something so significant in this world. So significant that he died on a cross so that we could have life and live it to the fullest. And he wants to do something so significant that he would engage you wherever you're at, with whatever age you are. You see, the reason sometimes, and this is what I found out for myself, so I'm not slinging a stone, sometimes we're just individuals that go to church rather than a group of people who become the church. So I discovered that God wants to do something in this world, in this place where I am, and what God wants to do is he wants to go into the world and do great things and change lives forever. And can I tell you this, in all the years I've been here, I believe the Creek Church is this. I believe that we've created a space where people like you and like me can re-engage with our faith, to see Jesus in a fresh way, to be engaged in a way that would push us out of our comfort zone and out of our normal ruts, out of our normal routines, so that when we engage, we can become the church to a lost and dying world. Because the church didn't happen when we just showed up this morning at 11:30. The church has been happening when you and I said yes to Jesus and we opened up the box and we received the incomparable gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. And when you and I read the Bible, this is my challenge this morning. If you are like me, I generally read it through a singular lens. It's my lens. It's my world. It's my first person. But really, when I come to faith, it looks different. You see, faith was for me personally, yes, but now I'm for the church corporately. You see, really, any time after we've been saved, we should read the scriptures as it's written to us. You see, sometimes we can get so focused on ourselves that we miss what God is wanting to do in and around all of us. You see, once we find Jesus, we become a member of this thing called the church. When we're saved, redeemed, gifted, a people called out, when we lean into this thing that Jesus initiated called the church, we lean into it because it was important to him. This is why we do what we do. This is why we talk about our mission and vision. This is why we talk about our core values that come out of our mission and vision. And this is why we talk about being a church where people who don't like church love to attend. Why do we do those things? Because we believe that the church is here to serve those who are lost and dying without a relationship with God our Father. Once we find Jesus and we engage, we become the church that he wants us to be. You see, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, they're going to get together and they're going to write a letter to the church at Thessalonica, to the Thessalonians. So once you and I become saved, then we're to engage. And here's what the church is all about. And I think this letter lays it out pretty well. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians and God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by the faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, that are loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the power of the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And the thing I love about this letter to the Thessalonians, it's not Paul saying, Paul writes this letter, but it's three of them that's been doing the work to share the gospel, to set up the church, to encourage the church. And they've heard about some incredible things that are happening at this church of Thessalonica, and they wanted to write and encourage them. And they're praying for them. And so I love this book to the Thessalonians because it's seen through a different lens. It's not a lens of me, but a lens of we. This is what's happening through you. You see, the church has been and is becoming something incredible in this world we live in. And God wants to do something in my individual life, that's for sure. But collectively is where he wants me to put my effort in. Because anything I do by myself falls short of what God wants to do with all of us. And three men working together helps set up, start, and encourage a church in Thessalonica. And we too, like the Thessalonians, we can turn this world upside down. That if a church that we engage in our faith and continue to move forward. You see, God is looking, here's what I'm convinced of. God is looking for men and women who will put their ego to the side, who will put their pride to the side, who will stop worrying about what their brand looks like. You see, I used to worry about what people thought about me all the time. What the word pastor meant and the fact that I went to a church, that I was a part of a church, that I had a group called the church. But when we put those things aside and we focus on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and we engage in our faith, God turns the world upside down. So one of the things some of us probably need to do is stop asking God just to do something for me all the time. And God, what will you do with us? You see, the world gets turned upside down when people get on mission, engage in their faith, and push to reach a lost and dying generation far from God. The thing I love about our church is that we've created a place where people can come sit at the table and have a conversation and meet Jesus for who he is. You see, sometimes we as people, I used to be upfront a lot about who Jesus was. But sometimes wouldn't talk about the people that I did life with in the church. And here's the thing. When you and I come to this thing of salvation, we commit to something that is bigger than ourselves. I used to think the church was just for me, but it's not. It's for us, and it's for the world. If you and I are not careful, we can get distracted really easy. You know what the enemy wants to do? He wants to stop you from growing in your faith. He wants to stop you from engaging in your local church. He wants to stop anything happening that would introduce people to Jesus. You see, any kind of distraction, anything going a little sideways, anything that might stop you in your tracks, we've given the enemy a place to stop what maybe, perhaps, God's wanting to do in and through you in the local church. When we stay focused on our mission, lives change. When we focus on our missions, generations change. When we stay focused, God changes lives, and he uses me and you to do it because we are the hope of the world. And here's what I know. I've been around here a lot of years. Some of you, a lot of you, some of you that are online, you come to faith because the church was on mission. There were people bought in that are serving. They decided they couldn't stay where they were. There's people that leaned in when others leaned away. And lives have been changed. And our church is a place that is going to continue to see lives changed. And to show you that lives are still being changed, not only are we having baptisms today, but there's a story I want you to hear. I want you to hear the story of someone who found faith and found their place in the local church. Would you take a look at the video screens?
I was brought up going to church. You know, when you're 8 years old and someone tells you if you disobey, you're gonna get struck by lightning, that scares you. And I think that pushed me away ultimately, because when you have to live your life being scared to death of doing something wrong and God punishing you and that being taught your whole entire life, eventually when you turn 15 and everybody else is doing what they wanna do, you're like, I'll do what I wanna do. They're not getting struck by lightning. I started running around with some wild people, drinking, partying, looking for something. I ran to all the wrong things, alcohol being one of the biggest parts of it. Like, I would get so intoxicated that I would have to go to the bathroom and just cry because I would look myself in the mirror and I could still hear God in the back of my head. It's not what I had for you. It's not the plan that I had for you. But my own judgment and not listening to him, I was like, I'm gonna do what I wanna do. I hear you, I'm listening. But sometimes that voice in the back of your head gets too loud. And finally, I listened to that voice when I was about 4 months pregnant. I said, I don't wanna live my life like this. I don't want to bring a child into this world with me being like this. And that's when I decided to try the creek. Well, I knew that I did not want to go back to my childhood church, unfortunately. I knew if I walked in there and me pregnant, out of wedlock, I wanted to go somewhere where I felt safe almost, because I wanted to have a relationship with God. And it wasn't so much about the church that I was going to. I wanted to find God. So I decided that I was gonna go to the creek when I walked in there, and I was like, this is safe. I can stay here. And I did. So after attending for a little bit, I started praying, and I was like, you know, God, give me my purpose. Like, I'm here, I'm in it. And it was very clear what he wanted me to do. So I started serving in Kids Creek, and that changed my life, because when I started actually serving with these kids, I love those kids so much. And I knew that if I wanted to be an example for those kids, I couldn't be living the life I was living behind closed doors. And that changed it for me, because doing that and stepping up to volunteer ultimately led me back to rededicating my life. After I rededicated my life and joining, I'd already been doing Kids Creek, so I decided I was gonna do Upfront with a bunch of senior girls. I was, man, I'm gonna be able to tell them what not to do in life and maybe guide them to what they need to be able to do in life, but ultimately build a relationship with them so that they don't pull on Ashley, and that they can trust me and can come to me and I can be an example to them of what God's grace has done for me, because he gave me what I always asked for. And if I wouldn't have went back to church, Harper may have been living the same life that I unfortunately had to live when my biological mom left me at the hospital and ended up ODing when I was 13. I'm very thankful that she gets to live the life that she lived, because I listened and went back time and time again to a church that welcomed me. And when I saw God's love for me through a lot of those people, I stayed. I said, I want my baby to be part of this. I want her to be brought up with these type of people. I want her to love God, and I want her to love me.
Yeah. Ashley is sitting over to my right, your left. Been with the kids all weekend and making a difference. You see, this is what happens when you create places and environments where people who are far from God find spaces that she would even describe as safe. A place where she could be engaged with her faith. You see, what she knows now is that serving kids and serving students has been a way for her to grow in her own faith. You see, everything about the economy of God is dealing with less of me and more of us. And when you put your yes on the table and you engage, you activate your own God-given talents. You begin to discover what God has for your life. You begin to see God use you to make a difference, not only in your life, but the lives of those around you. You see, the church is and has always been about people. It's been about good people. It's been a gift for them. It's been for hurt people. The church is a gift for broken people. Church is a gift for people in need. It's a gift for people who are confused in life, damaged with life. It's for great people, indifferent people. At the end of the day, the church is for all people. But God's desire that none would perish but have eternal life. And he's chosen you and me who have received the gift to be the ones to offer the gift. To say, come and see. As a church, for you, for me, when we gather, we should come ready to hear what God would have to say, ready to receive what God would have for us, and then ready to engage with the steps we need to take. You see, the greater contribution is when we work together in the common mission, in our core values, in the direction of the church, because when we work in that direction, God will change lives. You see, the value of the church is what I've come to discover in the last 2 months. It should be felt wherever we go. Because when we go, things should get better. And no matter where our gatherings happen, whether it's in Williamsburg, London, Somerset, Bell County, or wherever else, those communities should see us as servants, and we should leave it better than when we found it in these communities in which we go. So my challenge this morning as a church is to lean in, to engage. Let's turn the world upside down once again. Let's turn Eastern Kentucky upside down once again. Let's be the church that recognizes that we've been given a power. Acts 1:8 says, you will have power when the Holy Spirit comes in you, power to be your witnesses in your Jerusalems, your Judeas and your Samarias and to the ends of the earth. So we should engage. Why? Because your family's worth it. Your kids are worth it. Our students are worth it. And when we engage, we help people in all walks of life find a path to the one who can change their life forever. In 1 Thessalonians, I want to read some verses to you again. It says, for we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but with also power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord in spite of the severe suffering. You welcomed the message with joy given by the Holy Spirit. But listen to this. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has become known everywhere. And that's my prayer for us. That as a church, that your faith and my faith would get known everywhere. That they would know when they come to the Crete Church, they're going to find a place that's safe. They're going to find a place that decided to build bridges. That they're going to find a group of people that said, I can't stay here anymore. that they're going to find a place where they said we is greater than me, where they found individuals who made up the church that said, I'm going to use my influence to reach people far from God, that I'm going to use who I am to make a difference, and I'm going to serve those in need of being served. Because at the end, it all starts with you, and it all starts with me. And if we're honest this morning, it starts with us being selfless and our hands more open and more generous. You see, today I believe that some of us need to make some decisions. You see, when I was running at 19 and 20, not wanting to pursue this thing for me, what I found out through some advice of some people is that I needed to stop running and just engage and find out what God wanted to do. And I'm so glad I stopped and I engaged. For some of you, you need to reengage. You've not given any of your time other than show up a little bit, and I'm glad you are. Some of you, you've got talents and you're not using them. God's gifted you to serve people, to serve in the local church, to make a difference. For some of you, God's resourced you generously, but your generosity has been held close and not shared with others. Some of you, and I was scared to death to start talking to people about faith, and sometimes I still do get scared. See, what you don't know, and the sneaky little secret is, it's easy to get up here and do it. It's tougher when you're one-on-one. But some of us need to engage. And for some of you here today, you've had a relationship with the Lord for a while, but you've not grown in that relationship for a minute, and you just need to re-engage there. And here's what I can tell you. God is loving. He's merciful. He's kind. He's good. He's long-suffering. He's willing to use you. He's able to use you. He created you to do good works. And all you have to do is take a step in your faith. This weekend, some of these students have been engaged. And some of them have put their yes on the table. In a minute, we're going to see some of them go public with their faith. For some of you, you need to put your yes on the table and you need to go public with your faith. But what do you need to do to engage and be active in this incredible body called the church? Because I do believe that if you will, and we will, and we will continue to do so, we will turn this world upside down, and people will not stop talking about what's happened because of you. I want to ask everybody that's at all of our campuses and in our room today, if you'll stand with me this morning. And if you just bow your head and close your eyes for a minute, I want to ask you this morning, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? He came and died to give life so that you could have life and live it to the fullest. And no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter what path you've carved out, no what your past looks like, it doesn't matter. He loves you and cares deeply for you and wants to have a relationship with you. So I'm going to ask us all to do something that may be a little uncomfortable, but with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I just want you to say, everybody in the room, say your prayer with me out loud. For those who are wanting to come to faith, all you got to do is call upon the name of Jesus, and it sounds something like this. Dear Jesus, save me. Thank you for loving me, and thank you for giving me life. For some of you in here today, you need to engage. Maybe it was with your relationship with the Lord. Maybe you drifted like I did. Today would be the day to engage. For some of you, it looks like a step of faith. Maybe you need to join a service team. Maybe you need baptism. Maybe you need to get in a group that can offer you the love and accountability that you've been looking for. I want you to ask God right now where you're at to show you what you need to do to engage. At all of our campuses, with eyes closed, our heads are bowed, I want to ask you a question. Today you realize you needed to engage that God is wanting you to take a step and you just need the courage to do so, and you would love for somebody to pray for you. Would you do me a favor? Would you just slip up your hand real quick? Would you just slip up your hand all over the church? I see a hand in the back. There's hands in the front. Thank you, thank you, thank you for sharing those. For those of you in the room, maybe a minute ago you asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior for the first time. Would you just share that this morning? Would you just raise your hand if that was you and you asked Jesus to be your Lord and your Savior and you engaged with Him? I see a hand in the back. Thank you. Thank you. Dear Lord, in this moment, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for those who have said yes to you. I give thanks for those that are getting ready to go public in baptism. Lord, thank you for saving us and for redeeming us. Thank you for giving us this precious thing called the church. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of this thing. Use us to your glory to make a difference in this world. And Lord, I pray that you would use us to engage our communities wherever we're at, our neighborhoods, wherever we go. And Lord God, I pray that you would use us to make an incredible difference. Help us to be the greatest gift bearers this world has ever known. So Lord, I ask you to meet us where we're at. Help us to move in our faith. In Jesus' name we pray.